Well, good evening. Nice to be here. And I liked what Eddie said. Alan's here, and he's quite good. Keep me humble. That's all right. Well, we're doing a joint series with yourselves and us at Grace Hale Woods on the one another's. Is that right? Yeah. One another's in the Bible. Good. I'm in the right place. And I have got, at the end there, be kind to one another. So I'm going to preach about kindness. So if I'm not quite good, please remember to be kind, okay? Be kind to one another. That's what we're going to look at. I've had the whole kind of passage read just to give a bit of context, but we're not really going to go into much of what's there other than what's at the end. Be kind, in my translation here, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I found a great quote while I was preparing. Kind people are the best kind of people. It's good, isn't it? Kind people are the best kind of people. There is a popular thing in today's society. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called doing random acts of kindness. Just going up to a complete stranger and doing something kind for them. It's all over the internet. If you're on TikTok or YouTube, those kind of ones. Loads of videos of people just doing random acts of kindness. Without any reason or any cause, just doing something small that will make someone else's day, make them smile. Just be kind to people. It's got its own day. Of course it has. Everything in today's society has its own day, doesn't it? But we've missed it. So that your one day the year to do kind things has gone. The 17th of February was Random Act of Kindness Day. And there is there's also a foundation, a Random Act of Kindness Foundation, set up to help us to do these random acts of kindness. They have a page on their website of suggestions of things you can do. If you want to do something kind and you don't know what to do, you should really know how to be kind. But if you don't know what to do, they've got suggestions. Things like go to your local library and donate a book. Write a handwritten letter to someone and post it to them. Let someone out while in a traffic jam. Oh, that is kind, isn't it? And then there was one which I thought was quite strange. Use a reusable water bottle. So I don't know, is that kind to the planet? I don't really know. But apparently that's a random act of kindness. Kindness, then, is a big thing, isn't it? And I want to start, as we look at this, I want to start by asking the question, what is kindness? And as I was preparing, I was thinking, that's such a simple question, isn't it? What is kindness? We know what kindness is, don't we? My three-year-old, we teach him to be kind. So it's a concept that we have drilled into us from a young age. He's just started nursery, and he is an only child, so he's used to having everything his own way. He's used to playing with all of his toys by himself. And we've had a couple of times after school where the teachers said to us, can I have a word? Because Asher has not liked the fact that someone else wants to play with what he's playing with, and they've had to tell him to have kind hands. It's a good way of putting it, isn't it? Don't fight, have kind hands. Okay, we know what kindness is, don't we? What words would we use to describe kindness? What are some synonyms? Let's have some participation, shall we? Some synonyms for kindness. Give me a few words.
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful, yep. Come on, a few others.
Caring.
Caring, good one, yep. One more.
Taking
them
out for a meal.
Taking them out for a meal, okay, yeah. Caring, thoughtful, considerate, loving. Kindness. In order to fully have a kind of grasp of it, what's the opposite? Unkind. Some synonyms for unkindness?
Nastiness.
Unhelpful. Anger.
Confrontation.
Confrontation, yeah, okay. So we understand the concept, don't we? Cruel, harsh, selfish. But is then, as we come to this command in Scripture, be kind to one another, is it just to be gentle and caring and to not be cruel and selfish? Is that all that we're being told to do? Well, I think there's more to it than that. And I think a big part of it is who we're kind to. Who we do this to. Here's a passage from Luke chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those to whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he, ready? He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. It's natural then, according to Jesus, to show kindness to those who show kindness to us. That's natural. That's easy to do, isn't it? And in fact, that is kind of the mission statement of the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. They say that kindness is often repaid with kindness. And so doing a random act, if we all did a random act of kindness, we would set off a long chain of kindness. And so they want to change the world one act at a time. And that's their idea, that kindness breeds kindness. And so what they do is they go a step beyond that and say, rather than do kind to someone that's done kind to me, I will do kind completely randomly to a complete stranger, a neutral person. But what Jesus tells us to do, and I'm sure Jesus would be fully on board with what they're saying, but what Jesus tells us to do actually goes a step even further, doesn't it? And he tells us that we are to be kind to those who are unkind to us, to respond to ungratefulness and even evil with kindness. This is a countercultural, alien thinking version of kindness, isn't it, that Jesus is calling us to do. This is unnatural. True kindness, biblical kindness then, is more than just leaving a smiley face on the post-it notes on your colleague's desk, isn't it? It's more than just these kind of random acts of kindness. But it's going above and beyond, even against nature, in order to show love and care. What is kindness then? Well, I think that kindness is two things. It's an evidence of life, and it's an evidence of love. An evidence of life. When we read in Galatians chapter 5, yeah, you don't have to turn there, but Galatians chapter 5 is well known at the end there for what's called the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul is talking through the difference between the world and those who have the Spirit of God within them. It's the evidence of the life of a believer. How do we know that an apple tree is alive? It produces apples. How do we know that someone has spiritual life? They produce the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you hear it? It's in there. Kindness. Kindness is an evidence of spiritual life. This kind of kindness that Jesus calls us to. It's one of the signs and aspects of spiritual life within somebody. Well, just earlier in the chapter, before Paul touches on the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the fruit of the world. He talks about the flesh and the things, the works of the flesh that are evident. And there's a long list of things that are worldly and that are kind of connected to our sinfulness. And in there, you have enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, and divisions. It's natural. It's part of our worldly aspect to respond differently, to respond with enmity, to respond with strife or jealousy, with anger, to create rivalries. You said this to me, so I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And then you get your friends to not talk to them either. And we create divisions because of what someone has done. But Paul says that is part of the world. And instead, we need to show kindness. And then as he goes through the gift, the fruits of the Spirit, and then he says about at the end of chapter 5 of Galatians, he says this: let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. They are inverted one another's, aren't they? We're looking at one another's, things that we should do to one another. Well, Paul ends here with two negative ones, things not to do to one another: provoking and envying, the opposite things to kindness. So it's then an evidence of life, but it's also an evidence of love, isn't it? Kindness is the outworking of love. When we display love, it shows itself in kindness, in kind acts, in caring and considerate acts. It's been said that kindness without love does not exist. If you don't have love, then you don't have kindness. And so this thing that we're looking at, this idea this evening of being kind to one another, kindness then is an evidence of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm sure you've heard it read at a wedding somewhere, the long chapter about what love is. Love is kind. Kindness. Ephesians chapter 4, the passage that we had read, verse 32, be kind to one another. It's very quickly followed with another one another, which I believe you've had. Have you forgiven one another? Have you had that one? Yeah? Okay, so the two here are linked together. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Kindness and forgiveness go hand in hand. They are siblings from the parent of love. From love comes forgiveness and kindness. The challenge is there, isn't it? To put away, to get rid of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander. Put them away from you along with all malice. Be kind. That's the opposite. That's where Paul is hammering this home. Get rid of these things that are unkind and instead be kind. But there's this aspect that I touched on earlier, even here in this passage, with this command to be kind to one another. There's this aspect of being kind in the face of some of unkindness. So look at these words here. Bitterness. People aren't just bitter. I was tempted to put a joke about Evertonians in, but I won't. People aren't just born bitter. That people are bitter because something has been done to them. Yeah? Anger, rage. It's done in response to something that's been done to you. When you are hurt, that's how you respond. Clamour, making a big scene and all of that. Slander, put it away from you. I thought it was interesting. All these words are, in some way, they're justifiable, aren't they? We've all had these thoughts to be bitter towards someone. We've all had, we've felt justified in being angry towards someone. In fact, actually, Paul says, be angry and do not sin. So there's nothing wrong with anger in certain situations. But now he says, get rid of it. In some ways, these words are justifiable. They are in response to something being done to us, and yet Paul says, get rid of them, instead forgive and be kind. And the example that we are given is as God in Christ has forgiven you. And what is God's forgiveness all rooted in? It's rooted in love, isn't it? That God loved us, and so he has forgiven us. And now we are to forgive and be kind because of love. I hope that's clear. An evidence of life and an evidence of love. So that's what kindness is. I think biblical kindness is different to what the world preaches. It's different to what we would perhaps naturally do. We would naturally want to show kindness to those who are kind to us. Or maybe take it to this next step of doing random acts. Buying something for someone who's homeless when you walk past them. But actually, kindness in the Bible, the kindness that we're being told to do here, goes beyond that. And it's unnatural, but when we display it, it's because we have life and because we have love. So the question has to be asked then, why show kindness? Why? Why do we have to be kind like this? If in some ways it's justifiable to show anger, we can be angry and not sin, why show kindness? Well, again, I've got two little sub-points, and they're fairly easy, and I might be going over some bits I've already talked about, but here they are. It mirrors Christ, and it magnifies Christ. It mirrors Christ. Why show kindness? Well, because it mirrors what Christ has done for us. It mirrors what God has done through Christ. Again, it's kind of linked in with the forgiveness, isn't it? The motivation to forgive one another is because we have been forgiven. And so the motivation to be kind is because we have received the kindness of God. We have received the kindness of Christ. And we are called, aren't we, to live a life that displays God and that lives out his will and his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, where we have this command, the bit that I had read, you can just touch on it as you go through. It's talking about this new life. And he says that we must no longer walk and no longer live as the Gentiles do. We should put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceit and desires. But we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new self, to take off the old self and to put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God. We are to display the love and the mercy and the kindness of God in the way that we live. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see kindness, don't we? A man who was kind to others, a man who displayed love. And there's a great word in the authorized version of the Bible, loving kindness. And we see that loving kindness that is motivated by love. And we see Jesus repeatedly displaying that. We see the God of the Old Testament showing his loving kindness. And then we see that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are now called to mirror that and to display that. Because we've been on the receiving end of that. We have Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have received the loving kindness of God. I'll come back to that passage in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus talks about kindness. And what does he say? That we are to love our enemies, do good and lend without expecting anything in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. We are the ungrateful and the evil, aren't we? When we think of our lives, the lives of rebellion away from God, lives of ungratefulness. And yet he continues to show his kindness to us. I don't know if you remember, I go out onto the streets and share the gospel with people. And a question I'm often asked is, what has Jesus ever done for me? A question of ungratefulness, isn't it? And when I respond and say, well, he gives you every breath. No, he doesn't. My lungs do that for me. And when we try and show them what Christ has done, even in the small things of life, there is an ungratefulness. There is a wickedness about it. What has God ever done for me? What's Jesus ever done for me? He's given his life so that we might know the kindness of God, that we might know forgiveness, that we might know mercy and grace, that we might be, although we are dead in our trespasses and sins, because of his great love, we have been made alive by grace and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. What a wonderful God. And we have been called now to display him and to show that family likeness. We are adopted as children of the Most High. That's what Christ says in Luke chapter 6, that when we do this, we will be sons of the Most High. My son, he's 3 years old. I talk about him a lot. I used to always have football illustrations in my sermons. Then I became a dad, and now I just talk about Asher. But people always say, he's just the image of you. He looks just like you. You see the family likeness. As you look at my son and you look at me, they say, oh, you'll never get lost in a crowd. All these kind of phrases that we have that show that he displays that he is my son. Well, I wonder, do we display that we are sons of the Most High? How do we do that? By showing kindness to one another. And there is a sense in which this is done to those outside the walls of this building. Those who are unkind to us, often that comes from people outside, doesn't it? People who don't like Christ, and they constantly are there making fun of us because we come to church, and they're constantly making fun of our Lord and Saviour. And we're called to be kind to them, but actually what I think Paul is getting out here is actually as well within the church. There's so often divisions within the church. And we are to be kind to one another. When someone says something and you come up with an idea and someone shoots it down, oh, that's a stupid idea. It's so easy, isn't it, to then get a bit of bitterness within you. Or if someone, I'm trying to think of ideas on my head, really, of ways in which someone might upset us. But there are times in the church, even, where someone upsets us and we are called here to show kindness, because it mirrors Christ, but it also magnifies Christ, doesn't it? I started by saying this kind of kindness that we are called to, it is countercultural. It is alien to the world. That there is a sense in which retaliation is seen as good outside of Christ. And yet when we show this, then that is a testimony to the people that we live our lives among, that we are different, and that there is something unnatural, supernatural, at work in our hearts. So when we show this kind of kindness, it mirrors Christ, but it also magnifies him, that we are different. And I do believe that when we are different, people notice that difference. There's a story of one of my friends in our church in Hale Wood, and he was having a bit of a tough time. A family member close to him had passed away, and his wife was unwell. All at the same time, it was a difficult time. And he was—he's a teacher, and he was in the staff room on his break, and he got a picture of a cottage pie from someone from church who knew that things were a bit tough for them at the moment, and sent this picture of a cottage pie with the caption, "This is for you, don't cook dinner tonight." And this guy was made up, and he showed one of his colleagues and said, "Isn't that nice?" And apparently his colleague could not get his head around why some random person would cook dinner for him. It magnifies Christ. It gave him an opportunity to say, well, it's because of Christ that we are different, because of him. Because we have been blessed by God, we now want to bless others with kindness. So there's the command, be kind to one another. One of the great one another's of the Bible, be kind. And I guess at first it seems quite simple, and I think perhaps one of the reasons why I picked it was because I thought it was an easy one, but it's not quite as easy, is it? Because what we're being told to do is to go out of our way to show love and to be caring and considerate, even towards those who are inconsiderate and unkind to us. So what is kindness, and why show kindness? But then, just as we close, how? How do we show kindness? I think with these things, it's helpful to have that question. How do we do it? How do we love one another? How do we forgive one another? How do we be kind to one another. It's a bit like when you pass your driving test. If you're under a certain age, I accept that people of a certain age didn't have this, but I did, where you have the theory test and the practical test. You have to understand what you're doing, and then you have to understand how to do it. And so how do we show this kind of kindness? And it's not easy, is it? Well, I think the key principles are to pray. We have to pray that this would be evident in our life. We have to pray for these situations. We need the Lord's help, don't we, to act like this. And so prayer is a big thing. It seems like an easy thing to say, but I think it's the most important thing. It's certainly the first step, that we need to be praying that we would have kind hearts, that we would be kind people, that we would love and long to show this kindness to others. I've often said this to my wife. Kindness can be small things. I've always said, and I might have used this as an illustration before, I'd love to be a smiley person. I'm not a smiley person. There are some people, and I see this with my work in the open air, there are some people who just smile. Natural instinct is to smile. And I'm there, I'm stood on the streets, and I look at someone, and they look at me, they see I'm looking at them, and they just smile back. I think it's lovely. I'm not like that. If I see someone looking at me, I'm like, what are you looking at? Why did you see they're looking at me like that? My natural response is to frown. My eyebrows go in. I'd love to be a smiley person. And I often ask that the Lord would remind me in those moments to smile as my first impulse. And I think we need to pray that the Lord would work in our hearts and bring this joy and this love that responds with kindness. That almost kills with kindness, you could say. Prayer is the key, because it's an unnatural, supernatural kind of kindness. And so to show it, we need supernatural help, don't we? Prayer. Praying that the Lord would give us kind hearts. We also need to be keeping in step with the Spirit. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 5. When it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We need to be praying that the Lord would be working in our hearts. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be thinking on Christ. We need to be constantly working to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, and as the Spirit works in our hearts, well then, kindness will naturally show itself. I think another key thing, as I close, another key thing is to remember the price that other people have been bought with. It's so easy to remember that we have been bought with a price, and we give thanks and we praise God for the price that He paid for me. The Lord gave His life for me. Well, that's true of the awkward person in church. The person in church who you don't get on with. They're believers. Well, Christ paid for them too. That Christ loved them enough to give His life for their sins and their salvation. And I think, I know certainly from my own experience, I've been challenged as I've thought this through. There's people in my churches, as I've lived in churches all my life, there's always been people that I just don't get on with. I find them a bit awkward, and I maybe would avoid them. Well, I've been challenged this week that maybe in fact what I should be doing is going towards them instead. And I think it's helpful to remember that Christ died for them. Christ loved them enough to remain on Calvary's cross. And so I too should show that love to them, that my instinct should be to show love, and that will display itself in forgiveness and in kindness. So there we have it. Be kind to one another. I think it's very closely linked with forgiving one another, and the root of it is love. And it's not just giving a library book to your local library. It's not random act of kindness, but instead it's going above and beyond, even to those who are ungrateful and evil, and showing kindness. It's about displaying what Christ has done for us to other people. It's about loving and about having a heart which is keen and wanting to show kindness. And that's what I would commend. As I've been challenged this week, I pray that's a challenge to you as well. That we would pray and seek that the Lord, by his Spirit, would work in our hearts. That we would be smiley people, yes, but kind people. Because the best kind of people are kind people.